please. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. I have a lot of scripture at the beginning of the message today, but it'll all be on the screen. You can just kind of hang out in John chapter 10. I'd like to read the first five verses. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You're getting it. The subject matter is the shepherd's voice. I want to speak to you under that title today, The Shepherd's Voice. Let us pray. Our loving Father, I thank you for the opportunity to once again stand before this people, teach them the word of the Lord. I am so thankful, God, that not through my own thoughts or my own initiative, but only through the whole power of the Holy Spirit, you've given me this message today. I thank you that this message, the seed of this message, will fall on good ground, and it will reap an incredible harvest. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, not Joel Stalker, but I ask you, Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the concluding message of three messages during this month, all designed to help this congregation transition from a long tenured pastor to a new pastor. I want to say on the onset of today's message something that you've never heard me say before. I'm going to say it because I believe it. This message is probably the most important message I will have preached from this pulpit in 31 years. Maybe with the exception of the first message I preached from this pulpit 31 years ago, which I will go into detail about next Sunday morning. Outside of that, or equal with that, is today's message. Today's message, far, far, far more important than next Sunday's teaching. I am not naive to the fact that this change of pastorate has been very challenging for many people in this congregation. We are not ignoring that fact. It's been very challenging for Donna and I. When we entered into it, knowing this was the will of the Lord, we didn't know how challenging it would be. So I'm not skirting that fact or that issue. And I'm even more aware that even though we have given careful oversight to this time of transition, Satan would just love to take advantage of the situation and make an inroad into this church that would cause confusion. This is not going to happen. I'll say it again. That is not going to happen. Amen. For this reason alone, this congregation will not be in existence for one day without a shepherd in the position of leading this flock. In fact, I moved out of my office on Thursday afternoon. When I came to my office this morning, it was somebody else's office. Beautiful. We enjoyed just kind of surveying what you've done in the office with your things. We were just excited about it this morning when we got to church. I want you to catch the importance of this. Not one day, not one hour, not one minute, not one second. Let's be reminded of what we've learned in the first two messages of this series on transition. When Moses was taken by God up to the Abarim range east of Jericho someplace, shown the promised land, and God said, "You're not going in." The first thing Moses said was, "We can't have the Lord's people like sheep without a shepherd." This is one of the greatest metaphors in all of the Bible. People are sheep, congregations are flocks, and pastors are shepherds. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, the leadership of the Ephesian church, he said, "Keep watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God." Peter echoes in 1 Peter, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be." This whole idea of you being sheep, us together being a flock, and us having a shepherd is laced throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Just let me show you three from the Old and three from the New. "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people." Do you see? It refers right there to shepherds and people. "Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." Ezekiel 34, "As a shepherd looks over his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered." Four verses later, "I will search for the lost, I will bring back the strays, I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Let's go to the New Testament. Jesus says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? He saw them as being harassed. He saw them as being helpless. He saw them as though they were sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus told them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." When a flock doesn't have a shepherd, sheep scatter. It's true. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand, and hired hands care nothing about the sheep. They just care about their own skin. The first of several, of three truths today. The Lord never wants his sheep shepherdless. And look closely at two Old Testament verses that say much to us. from Jeremiah, we read, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." The 23rd chapter, "I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord." I want you to look at the beginning of both of those verses. It is God saying, "I am going to give you a shepherd." It's God saying, "I am going to place a shepherd over you." You've heard me say it many times when we have installed new pastors. You've heard me say this. This is a gift from God to you. I've said that with every installation of every new pastor on this staff. Today, I have what I consider a very critical thought that must be deposited in the spirit of everyone who calls Christian Celebration Center church home. This thought is the title of today's teaching: The Shepherd's Voice. But before we get to that, let's talk about both sheep and shepherds. It was 16 years ago. I taught a 10-part Sunday morning series. I no longer teach 10-part message series. I taught a 10-part series titled "Being Like Sheep." It was really an expositional study of the 23rd Psalm. In the very first message of that series, I gave this truth: we are like sheep. Every time we drive down a country road and we see those thick-bodied, four-legged creatures lined up nose to tail in their strange woolly procession with their heads all nodding in unison, we see ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Bah." Come on, do it again, a little louder. Oh, there we go. I didn't say "but them," I said just say "bah." Well, for that series, I got my hands on every book I could get on about sheep and shepherds. For that series, I went out to some farmers in the area that are sheep farmers, and I talked with them about their little woolly friends. And I learned a ton. I've chosen not to give this to you until today, because in 2 weeks, I'm out of town. Because I don't know how happy you're going to be with me after I give you this list. I want to give you a dozen sheep traits. I'm going to enjoy this, I think. Number one, sheep are undiscerning. That's a nice way of saying sheep are stupid. That's what I learned. That's what I was told. Contrast it to a cow. A group of cattle who are out in the field, and a storm is approaching from the west. The clouds are thickening and they're getting dark, and there's some thunder and there's some lightning, and a storm is coming. You know what cattle will do? Cattle will bunch up and they will go to a shelter. Sheep? They just pay no attention to it. Sheep are unreasoning. That's a real nice way of saying sheep are stubborn. You can't reason with them. Now, my golden doodle, Riley, is stubborn. But I can reason with him. Sometimes he wins, sometimes... No, I can say to Riley, lay down, and he's done something naughty, which is quite often. He will do this, and he will slowly sit his butt down. But he's still standing this tall, in front. You didn't hear me. Lay down. He looks at me, and he gradually starts this descent that takes about 45 seconds to get from here to the floor. But you can at least reason with him. Sheep, you can't. They're unpredictable. I thought I was going to get some heckling in this part of the message. It's okay. I can handle it. You can never guess their next move. They are defenseless. They need a defender. They are helpless. They need a lot of support. I love this one. They go to the direct opposite of the correct way. In our family, my mom. My mom, bless her heart, she's with the Lord. She would go into a store and come out, and wherever her car was, she would go the opposite direction. She was here. One of her last visits with us to Midland, she needed to go to Myers for something, so I took her to Myers. Kind of ashamed to tell you what I did, but I'll tell you, because I thought it was kind of funny. So I got a pretty good spot in the lane right over here by the door, and I said, hey, Mom, I'm going to stay in the car. You just go do what you need to do, and you come back to the car. She said, fine. I said, remember where I'm parked. She said, yeah, not a problem. She gets out, and she shuffles into the store. She's in there for about 15, 20 minutes. Well, during the time she was in there, I took the car, and I moved it over here. About two lanes over, about the same depth, and there I parked. She came out about 15 minutes later. She turned this way and walked right over to the car. That's the truth. Oh, it gets better. She got in the car, and we are driving out the north driveway of Myers parking lot, and she said, see, I told you I could come back to the car. And I just decided I am not going to tell her I did this on her. Let her think she found the car. Number seven, sheep get lost easily. I mean, they just have a remarkable aptitude for getting lost. Number eight, and they follow each other in their lostness, thinking, nothing's wrong. Number nine, they have no sense of a return to safety because they can't identify lostness. Number 10, they get consumed with searching for better grass. I mean, consumed with it. They believe what's on the other side of the fence, the grass is greener there than here. It could be a gravel road with no grass. And they will think it's better there than in the pasture where I've been put and where I'm eating luscious food. I'm just telling you what the sheep farmers told me. Number 11, they require 24/7 care all the time. And number 12, they are easily led. I mean, they rarely stop to check where they're being led. Now, don't get upset with me, but the scripture repeatedly says, you are sheep. If you don't like that, take that up with God. And as a result, we all need a shepherd. That's the bottom line here. We all need a shepherd. I find it interesting. We are never told in Scripture that we need a priest. Jesus is our high priest. We don't need a priest outside of Jesus. We're never told in Scripture we need a prophet. We're never told in Scripture we need a preacher. But we are repeatedly told over and over again and again and again, you need a shepherd. So now, the person that you bought a little bit ago, turn to them, look them right in the eye, forcefully, look them right in the eye and say, you need a shepherd. Now, that's not, this section is having way too much fun with this. Well, you're going to have a lot more fun in just a second, because that's not always easy. I mean, that job, the job you're about to take, whew, it's not always easy. Well, let me show you. Let me set this up. You're going to see a shepherd who's walking down a country road with his flock of sheep. And I think the rest of it speaks for itself. Welcome to your new job. Oh, I gotta, can I, if I go in reverse, can I play that over again? Oh, hold it for a second. Stop it. Look closely. Beside the sheep, you will see one other animal. Did you see it? And look what the dog is doing when the shepherd gets in trouble. He's not in this room. Oh, he is. I'm sorry. Hi, Leon. Leon, I thought you were downstairs having coffee and donuts. The dog. It's Leon. Play it. Watch the dog. Oh, keep watching for the dog. Look, this one sheep keeps hitting him when he's down. The dog comes back, barks a little bit, and runs away. Thank you, Pastor Carl. I have watched that 100 times this week, let me tell you. Oh, look at the first 2 verses of today's text. I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. And the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. I am very excited for 74 people from this congregation that are going to allow Donna and I to lead them on pilgrimage to Israel, either September or October. The October trip is full. We still have some room in the September trip if you would desire to go. As you people travel throughout Israel, and those of you who have been there with us, you're going to see that you're going to see a lot of shepherds and you're going to see a lot of sheep. And you're going to see that they're in very inhospitable conditions. And you're going to see that they need a shepherd. I pray, and we'll try to remind you of it when we're in Israel. Take a look at that. Think back to this Sunday. We talked about the voice of the shepherd. For thousands of years, the Middle East culture has understood sheep. The skills of a shepherd are very, very defined. Look at the 78th Psalm. He brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely so they were unafraid. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands, he led them. I would like to give you this morning 6 skills that a shepherd must have. Number 1, he must know how to locate food in a wilderness environment. You're going to go to Israel with us, you're going to understand this. It's a wilderness environment. It's not Michigan with plush, green, level, everything. It's up and down, and it's rocky, and it's waste. A shepherd has to know where he can find food for his flock in a wilderness environment. He knows that if he goes over this ridge and down and around this valley, there'll be a little pasture land. It won't be much, it'll be a little, but it'll be really, really good for his sheep. What did the psalmist tell us in the 23rd Psalm? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He can't make me lie down in green pastures unless he knows where they're at. And in that environment, they're not all over the place. Very hard for us Michiganders to understand this. 2nd skill, he must be able to locate water. Why? Because again, he's in the Middle East environment where water is scarce. And he has to lead his sheep to quiet waters. Why? A sheep will not drink from rushing water. They're afraid of it. So you can have a little stream, but if it has a current to it, sheep will have nothing to do with it. The shepherd's got to find where that water gets kind of blocked up, and there's just kind of a little pool that's smooth. Sheep will go right up and drink there. Shepherd has to be able to locate those spots. He must know his directions. Because as you go to the Middle East, you will see, take a wrong turn and go over the top of this hill or this mountain, and if a sheep gets over there and it goes straight down, the sheep falls over, he's dead. I mean, he's got to know, don't take a right turn here, take a left turn. He must be constantly on the lookout for predators. Wolves, hyenas, jackals, lions. And he has predominantly 2 pieces of equipment. The one is the staff. I've researched this. This is quite accurate to what they would have been like. The little crook here, so that if he has to use it with the sheep, he doesn't injure the sheep. Leon, as long as you're in here, I'll tell him the story. When we were in that series, Leon had just had surgery, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. And I told him, I went to him, I said, I got to use you for an illustration on Sunday. Just do what I tell you to do. I went to Pam and I said, Pam, from your children's stuff, can you get me a sheep tail? And she did. She got me a sheep tail. And I got Leon up here on the stage and I pinned the sheep tail on his behind right here. And ears. He had a little hat with ears. So I want you to picture Leon standing here with a little hat with ears and a little tail right here, okay? And I told him ahead of time, I said, Leon, we don't have to practice this. Just do what I tell you to do. I said, Leon, you're going to be a sheep. Get down on all 4. So he's down on all four, and I said, I think we were over there, but we'll just say, I'll reverse it here. I said, walk to that side of the platform. So he's going like this. I said, go to the right, and he went to the right. And then I said, go to the left, and he went to the left, and he got all the way across the platform. He turned around, and I said, but this is what happens when the sheep is a naughty sheep. And I told him the second time, just do the opposite of what I tell you. So I said, go to the right, and he goes like this. I said, go to the left, and he goes like that. About this time, I took this shepherd's staff, and I went, whack, and I hit him right on the side. He just kind of doubled over in pain, and everybody started laughing. You're not laughing loud enough. It was, I think, the funniest moment I can remember in our 31 years. Leon, do you remember that day? Okay, what's the rest of the story? Stand up and tell us. What's?
Because he did that, he became very bad. I was on all four, and I looked at my back leg.
That is true. About right here, he lifted his leg like this. And the place just erupted in laughter. I do remember laughing so hard my glasses fogged up with steam. It was so funny. No, this would be used to kind of nudge the sheep. Or if the sheep was caught in a thicket and the shepherd couldn't get to it, with that he could get in around him like that and say, okay, come on, sheep, you know. Oh, sorry, I'm going to rip your head off. She just had surgery? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll have healing for prayer for you for healing at the end of the service. This is quite authentic. And this is about the size of a club. I had it researched. It's a root from a tree. It's heavy and it's thick. Kind of like a baseball bat, but and I had a dear friend of mine who's went on to be with the Lord make this for me. It's a club. And if a wolf is going to come, if a hyena is going to come, the shepherd knew how to wield this. Now, I have read, and I don't believe it for 1 minute, that if the sheep were really naughty, that then the shepherd would take this club and break their legs. I don't have any biblical support for that. I think that's a stupid theology. Knock you over the head, yes. Break your legs, no. No. I just don't believe that. I don't believe the shepherd ever wants to harm the sheep in any way, whether they're naughty or not. That just doesn't make any difference. My mind is taking me back to a couple that came into this town. They started coming to this church. I can't tell you the whole story. They were charlatans. They got three young couples in our congregation and started taking money from them for a ministry that they were going to have that was never going to happen. I knew it. I sensed it. Donna and I went out to dinner with them. I can't go into the whole story. I ended up calling a pastor who knew their background. The pastor said, they're crooks. They're going to fleece your sheep. He said, you don't believe me? Call his mom in Tennessee. I called mom. Mom said, stay as far away from my son as you can possibly get. He will destroy your church. I asked him to come to my office. I sat down. I looked him in the eye. And I said, I know who you are and I know what you're about. And you are not welcome on this property. I can't stop you from talking to my sheep out there. It's a free world. But I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to operate on this property. You're not going to make friends with people in this church. You are not welcome here ever again. They stayed in town for about a month. The Lord helped me to foil their plan, and they moved to another community where they would start this whole thing over and do it again and again and again. Your shepherd will watch out for you. And when your shepherd has to do some things like that, he knows God is showing him. This is a wolf. This is a hyena. This is a lion. And I've got to protect that which God has given me. He must know his sheep intimately. And number six, he must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Now I began to meditate on these six skills, asking the Lord, how are these manifested today in shepherding people? And here's what I think the Lord gave me. A shepherd, first of all, needs to count his sheep. I do my best to keep track of you. As the church gets larger, that's more difficult, but I do my best to keep track of you. A shepherd should search for lost sheep. A shepherd should feed, and a shepherd should protect. Truth, a shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd. And the good shepherd knows instinctively, he cannot push his flock of sheep. Rather, they must be led. I have read accounts of shepherds coming to the fold in the morning. Allow me to explain. In Israel, particularly in the Bethlehem area, you who go to Israel with us will see in the Bethlehem area, there are folds, a gate, and it's usually a rock fence about this tall. And it could be fairly big. And maybe it could house 75 sheep. Just picking a number. Those 75 sheep did not belong to one person. Those 75 sheep might have belonged to six or seven. Each person had 10 or 15 sheep. I have read accounts where in the morning, the shepherd of 10 or 12 of those sheep will come and stand at the gate and start calling his sheep by name. And the other guy's sheep don't come, only his. One by one by one by one. I have literally seen videoed where a shepherd comes and starts to play a flute or play a guitar, and only his sheep come out of the fold. How does that work? Well, Jesus tells us in today's passage, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. For 31 years, you have had the same shepherd's voice. He has called you by name. He has led you. And you have followed. He has done a fair job. You have done an excellent job of following. Last truth in this message today. Your shepherd's voice is going to change in 2 weeks. And I ask you, what is the impact of this truth for you? Because that voice is going to sound different. And that voice is going to say different things. And it would be unfair of you to think, I want that voice to sound the same as the past voice. It would be unfair of you to think, I want that voice to say the same things the former shepherd said. Every person who calls Christian Celebration Center Church home is going to have to tune your ear to a new voice. Your hearing is going to have to match your vote. On November 13th, 99% of you said by your vote, I want this voice to be our new voice. I told someone to that 2 weeks ago at a minister's meeting. They looked at me and said, how much? I said, 99%. They said, that's as good as unanimous. I said, I understand that. Hear me, church. I'm telling you this because I love you. Now you're going to have to retune your hearing. And the future spiritual success of Christian Celebration Center is dependent upon you being able to do this. It is not dependent on how good your new shepherd leads you. I will tell you something I told our pastoral staff in February, when we had our February staff meeting. I have been in ministry for 46 years. I have rubbed shoulders with hundreds, yea, thousands of pastors. I'm about to tell you what I feel is honestly from my heart. I have never seen better pastoral DNA than Keith and Lacey Grable. If you're sitting there thinking, well, he's going to have to learn how to do it, and he's going to have to be mentored, and it's going to be a bumpy road for a while, I got news for you. He doesn't have to learn how to do it because God put within him how to do it. I'm telling you, this DNA that these people have to be shepherds is incredible. You are going to have to tune your ear to a new voice. And I conclude this message by drawing your attention to John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. A very interesting word there. The word follow is in the present tense. It means it's not an activity of the past, but rather it is an ongoing activity of both the present and the future. And it's habitual. In other words, the word means something done in a very determined, purposeful manner. And that's what CCC needs to do going forward. We all need to say, I will tune my ears to hear a new shepherd's voice, and I will, with both determination and purpose, follow my new shepherd. Pastor Keith and Lacey, would you please come up to the platform? Would you all please stand? Would you, to the best of your ability, follow my lead? Donna and I are going to come down and take the position of being in this congregation. And we'd like to ask you all to join us at this altar. I recognize we'll be down the aisles. I'd like to ask everybody to move from where they are and get as close and tight as we can in the altar and in the aisles. Would you do that, please? I'm going to ask you all to look on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to repeat with me what is on the screen, good and loud and with meaning. Are we ready? Let's say it. I will tune my ears to hear a new shepherd's voice, and I will with both determination and purpose follow my new shepherd. Now, I want us to say it once more, only I want it to make it personal, and so we will break it up and you can repeat after me, and I don't want you to look at the screen. I want you all to look at your new pastor and his wife. I want you to get your eyes on them. Look them straight in the eye. And repeat after me. Pastor Keith and Lacey.
I pledge to you today.
I will tune my ears to hear your voice.
And I will with determination.
And with purpose.
And with purpose.
Follow you.
As my new shepherd.
It's really, since we're on holy ground this morning, and we've heard a word from the Lord that I need to hear, that we all needed to hear, that prepares us for the future. Words can't really describe how humbling it is over the last several months to sit there and know that Pastor Joel and Don are doing everything that they can for this to be a healthy transition because they love you. Not necessarily about us. It's because they love you. They love this church. And for us to sit there and know that they are talking about the future, about us, it's mind-boggling. Because our desire from young age has been, Lord, we want to serve you. Here we are. Send us. Here we are. Use us wherever you want us to be. And at some point during our time here at CCC, our prayer changed to us. Here am I. Keep us if this is what you want us to do. And we believe that God has ordained this. God has prepared all of us for this next chapter in God's kingdom advancing throughout the world and as it relates right here in Midland. And we want you to know that we're excited. We're excited. A lot of people have asked us, are you ready? Are you ready? And some of them are asking us with a thought, and sometimes they add this, man, you've got big shoes to fill. And in my mind, I'm like, I know that. Okay. All right. Tell me something I don't know. But there's just a growing excitement in our hearts because we have just sensed God's call and God's peace, that this is right, that this transition is right, the length of this transition is right, and that very, very soon, Lacey and I will take on this responsibility. And Pastor Joel and Donna have done so much to prepare us and to seed into our hearts and our lives what that entails and what that means. But there's a lot of it as we go forward. We're going to be discovering that. We're going to be going to discover what that burden feels like and what that responsibility feels like and the exhilarating passion of being used by God right where he wants you to be. And we feel like that's where we are, right where God wants us to be. And so, Pastor Joel, thanks for sharing this message. And we ask all of you to be praying for us. To be praying for us. We're praying for you. We are. We care about you. We're looking forward to getting to know you even more than we already do. We're looking forward, even going into May, of sharing the things that God has been laying on our heart for the future of this church. We're excited. We really, really are. And I think it's important for us to remember the point of a shepherd, of sheep, of a church, of pastors. It's all to bring him glory. And God chose it to be like that, for there to be a New Testament church that's being led and that people are coming together in unity to see the work of God go around this world. It's to give him glory. Jesus said when he came to the hour that God had put him on this earth for and that he was willing and obedient to follow the Lord in coming to this earth, he said this, glorify your name. Glorify your name. And so our prayer is that God be glorified. Amen. In your lives and our lives together as we are embarking on what God has called us to do. We believe that it's true, that it's God's call. God's call on all of us to be about his business, his work on this land until he comes back for us. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you've shared. We will never forget this. We'll never forget this. Pastor Joel said that we would be coming up, but we didn't know what this was going to look like, or we didn't know what his message was going to be other than we heard the title. We'll never forget this. And so our heart and our prayer is, let's move forward. Let's see what God wants to do in all of us. Let me pray for you. Lord, our desire is to bring you glory. That is why we are on this earth, to make you famous, to lift you up so that you are known throughout, not just Midland, but throughout this entire world. And Lord, I pray that you will, even this week, help our ears to be in tune to a new pastor. But Lord, even beyond that, I pray that our ears will be in tune to the great shepherd, the good shepherd of our souls. And I pray over these next couple days, even as we're in the word and as we're in the prayer, that you will speak into our hearts for the future of our marriages and families and lives. Speak into our hearts for the future of this church. God, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing that we have of each other. And as we move forward together, we do not move forward alone. We move forward together. And I thank you for that unity and that strength that is there. And also, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you have given this church, the gift of Pastor Joel and Donna. Lord, I pray that over this week, as they experience many lasts, and as they experience the reminiscing of the past and heading into April 30th, Lord, I pray that your favor, your blessing, your love will be all over them. God, give their family safe travel as they come. May this be the week that they never forget, the week that is the icing on the cake for the ministry that you have called them to do here at CCC. Lord, we thank you for the treasure of wisdom and knowledge and grace that you pour into our lives, and together we want to discover more of who you are so that we can make you known in this earth. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Lacey and I want you to know that we love you. The more that we get to know you, we love you more, and we're excited about the future of continuing to build relationships with you and to hear from God and to move forward as a church. Pastor Joel and Donna, thank you. Thank you. And let's all be in prayer for April 30th. It's a celebration. Everything that they have done, as the Lord has led them, has been Spirit-led. And so we're praying that even April 30th, that morning, that afternoon, that evening, will be Spirit-led. We want a visitation from him. We don't want it to be a man thing. We want a visitation from him, and I believe that he's going to grace that day with his presence, and he will be able to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, and we all, as those who have been your sheep, will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servants. Thank you. Let's all have a great week, walking in God's favor, walking in God's presence. Thanks again for this morning. We'll never forget it. Thank you.